here.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're such a privileged people. Knowing, Lord, that the great creator of the heavens and earth, and not only the heavens and the earth, but Father, when we look at the size of the galaxies and all the different galaxies and the millions and millions of planets throughout the solar systems, so God, and realizing that we're just just a little speck in the cosmos of things, but yet, Father, within that little speck, there's a seed of life that came from Thee. Oh, hallelujah. And Father, we realize, Lord, that You're drawing us closer and closer as the brethren sang the song this morning, make me a servant, O God, and knowing, Father, that it's within our heart, Lord, to love Thee with all our heart. And John said, if we love You, Father, that we should love one another. And so, Lord, we're thankful, Father, for the love that You've given us for each other. We pray that that love would shed abroad by the Holy Ghost to capture, O God, as many as You would deem fit, O God. And help us to be as Your Son, Jesus, to be able to walk through the 300, to go to the one. And, Father, to have our focus such that we are the blind servant that sees nothing but what You would have us to see, and the deaf servant who would only hear what You would have us to hear. Be with us, Father, as we just ask You to help us, O God, to become conformed to that image, to be that person that You ordained for us to be before the foundations of the world, that, Lord, we wouldn't have anything standing in our way, but only, Father, we would have, thus saith the Lord, living itself out in these very bones. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This morning I'd like to continue with the threefold purpose of God. Brother Jim, good to see you. How are you feeling? Better? Okay. Peter, you're doing a little better? Where's Peter? There you go. Okay. Well, pray for me. I'm fighting something myself, but anyway, this morning we're going to continue on the threefold purpose of God from Christ as a mystery of God revealed. And I'd like to open our Bible, or open our text this morning to paragraph 79. If you need a copy of one, I have one here. Anybody need a copy? I have two up here. Would you like a copy? Would you bring that back to Brother Jim? And it's going to be 144 in your book, where Brother Brown begins to show us the second phase, or the second purpose of God's threefold purpose. Paragraph 79 or 144, he says, secondly, to have the preeminence in His body of believers, that is His bride, that He might live in the people. Now, He could do that in Adam and Eve, but sin separated them. So now there had to come, or there had to be some way to get it back again. Oh my, and when I, and this is rich to me, just to think of it, see what God's purpose was. Now, the word preeminence means superior or outstanding. So he's talking about an attitude here. God having the preeminence or the superior position in our life. Then he says in paragraph 80, now, why didn't he just keep Adam and Eve like that? Then he would have never been able to express his fullness, his full attributes. Because he could be a father there, that's true, but he's a savior. You see, how do you know he was, or he is? Because I've had that experience. See, he is our Savior. And he had to express that. And how could he do it? Only through Christ. How could he be a son? Only through Christ. How could he be a healer? Only through Christ. See, all things are wound up in that one person, Jesus Christ. Oh my. Now notice he's not just talking about God being the preeminent one as far as being your God. You know, we have one God, but Jehovah, you know, like the Muslims say, well, there's one God but Allah. Well, Allah's a false God, and the Hindus have 3 million gods. He's not talking about just being that, but he's talking about God being the preeminent Father. God being the preeminent Savior. God being the preeminent Lord or Master. God being the preeminent Healer. You know, many times people run off to the doctor for this, that, and the other. Why don't you go to God first? You see? Let God do it. He's a preeminent healer, the preeminent provider. God wants to be numero uno, for those Spanish people listening. The number one in your thinking, in your feelings, in your emotions, in your finances, in your relationships to others. And when God has a preeminent place in your entire life, on your job, in your home, in the field and in the marketplace, when God has a preeminent place in your thinking, in your heart, that all your thoughts will be God. You know, that's why in Deuteronomy 28, the blessings is, you know, you'll be blessed in the field. You'll be blessed in the marketplace. You'll be blessed at home. You'll be blessed coming. You'll be blessed going. Why? Because God has a preeminent position. You see? Whether you're doing a business transaction or whether you're working for someone else, your thoughts, your words, your actions will all reflect the preeminent one in your life. In your home, in your bed, at the breakfast table, at lunch, in the restaurant, in school, at the workplace, in everywhere that you live and breathe, He is the numero one. He is the number one thought on your mind. And when you buy clothes, sisters, do you see Him standing behind you when you're standing in front of that mirror? When you look, you know, David said, I've set the Lord always before me. Because He's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Do you recognize His presence is there when you are buying those clothes, sisters? When you buy your toys, brothers? Is He with you in your purchases? When you look in the mirror, do you see Him standing behind you? And is He pleased? When you shoot that deer, is He with you and guiding your sight? Do you ask Him? That's the example our prophet gave. He said when he shot those squirrels, he said that God created, he said he hardly even took aim. He just lifted the rifle and it was bullseye right through the eye. He said, that had to be God. That was like an old Western shoot out, you know, just shoot from the hip, you know. He said, I just pulled that thing up. I didn't even take aim. Just pulled it up and shot right through the eyeball. Do you ask the Lord to guide your bullet so that you can bring home some meat? You understand? He said when he shot those squirrels, okay, perfect shot. He said 75 yards out. He's used to shooting at 50 yards. You see, notice what he says in the very next verse. And when I think of it, I just see denominations passing off the scene. Everything else just going. See, when I see God's great purpose revealing Himself and having, and first to reveal Himself in Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and then to bring that fullness of God bodily into a people that He could have the preeminences, the oversight, and the leading. Notice the oversight, the leading in everything that you do, all in the name of Jesus. Paul said, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus, giving praise to His name. I want you to notice how Brother Branham describes this preeminence in the bride. Listen to the very next paragraph there. It's 82, so it's, I don't know, probably what, 147. And the other night, if you didn't get that tape that I preached here one night on a prisoner of Jesus Christ, Paul, a prisoner, see? When God gets you to be His prisoner, then you can't do nothing but what the Spirit says do. Paul, with all of his great intellects, he was taught by Gamaliel to be a great prisoner, a great priest or rabbi someday, and he had high ambitions. He was intellectually a great man, great authority, great man in the nation, but he had to sacrifice every bit of it, see, to become a part of the Word, to express Jesus Christ. He knew what it was to say. He had a notion to go to some place, some brethren had called him, but he was forbidden by the Spirit to do his own will. Now, you say, that was a wonderful prophet. Let me ask you something. Have you ever wanted to do something and the Holy Spirit forbid you? Did you take His forbidding? Amen. There you are. No different than the Apostle Paul. He had his role. You have your role. The Holy Spirit forbid you to do something. You hearkened to the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, it's already there, brother, sister. He's already in you by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we have to listen. Sometimes we look for big, mysterious things when Elijah was in the cave and the thunderstorm came. He said, no, I don't think so. The whirlwind came out. No, I don't think so. The crackling of the lightning. No, I don't think so. The earthquake. No, that's not it. Then that still, small voice spoke. How many times has that still, small voice spoke to you? Huh? As I said, Brother Branham had his book of visions. And that helped him in the dry spells. And you ought to keep yourself a book of remembrance. If God has a book of remembrance, why don't you? Of all the different times that God has talked to you in the stillness, and then you write it down. See if it's God or not. And when it comes to pass, Brother Brown said, you know if it's God. He said, number one, it's quickened to your soul. Quickened to your spirit, he says. He said, then you see it in the Word. Then he says, you watch it come to pass. And when that has been quickened in your soul, you see it in the Word, and it comes to pass, you know that was God. Write it down. Write it down. Hallelujah. But he was forbidden in his spirit to do his own will. Oh, if people half spiritual can pick that up, see? See, he was forbidden to do his own will. He could only, the Spirit forbid him, see? He was a prisoner to Christ. Then this little fortune teller one day, who he knowed, Paul knowed he had power to cast that devil out, but he could only do it as God willed it. Day after day she followed him, crying out after him. But one day the Spirit gave him permission. Then he rebuked her, and the spirit that was in her left. See, he knowed what it was to be a prisoner. Moses, in his intellectuals, he had to lose them in order to find Christ, to be a prisoner. Then when God got all that world beat out of him, how many feel like the Lord's kind of beating the world out of you? Amen. Well, you're no different than Moses. A beautiful quote in the last study we had were on the spoken word, Brother Branham. He said, look, I'm just a brother in the big family of brothers. Something like that. I'm paraphrasing. And he said, I'm no different than you. I have my office, but you have yours. You see? And when Jesus said, you know, the things that I do, you'll do also. He's not talking about being prophets or being the Son of God. He's talking about being sons of God. You know, I mean, you look at your own children and you see a lot of your habits. You see a lot of your characteristics, whether they're good or bad, but you see those things in your kids because it's by trait. It's a seed. And if we got the seed of God, hallelujah, we're going to be just like him. Amen? And he says, Moses, his intellectuals, he had to lose them in order to find Christ, to be a prisoner. And yet, you know, just think about that. Moses knew from the time of a child he was born for a purpose. Moses knew that he was born to be deliverer. He was told that his whole life. But when he didn't wait for God to try it, it didn't work. See? That's why I say we just need to come to the place because we've got all kinds of things happening in this. We've got economics to deal with. We've got politics to deal with. Societal breakdown to deal with. All these different issues to deal with. We just need to get alone with God. Start being more disciplined. Get up in the morning. Get out someplace. Go to a closet. Just get away. You know, just try to find a place where you can just have that wonderful talk, you know, with your Savior. He said he could even talk. He said then when God got all the world beat out of him and all the mighty man that he was and stood in that presence of the pillar of fire that day, he was found just speechless. He couldn't even talk. He said God had a prisoner then. See? God won't try after your own searching. Then God had to undo this man, endow him with power enough that he could go down there. And he said, Lord, I told Pharaoh what you said, and he wouldn't do it. He said, then take this rod, this thy rod, God speaking, that's God's word, go out there and point it toward the east and call for flies. And flies come into existence because he had a prisoner that Pharaoh couldn't pay off with nothing. Nobody else could turn him, no way. He was a complete prisoner in the chains of God's word, bound up wholly to thus saith the Lord. Oh, if God can get prisoners like that. He's talking about you and me. Now that's when he can express the preeminence, as you see. He's got the manner of the person so that he knows nothing but Christ. You get what I mean, all right? That's secondly. First, to express himself completely, God in Christ. Second, to have the preeminence is by this in his church, which is his body, his bride, to that he could have the preeminences to express himself through them. All right? And thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell by sin, by the first Adam, back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people, talked with them, fellowshiped with them, and now sin and death has separated them from his presence and his entire expression. Do you read it? Before the foundations of the world, to express all of his attributes, what he was. Now, from Brother Bram's sermon, Spoken Words Original Seed, he kind of said the same thing. He said, paragraph 96, when God and his word becomes one. Hallelujah. That's when God's Spirit waters the seed of God and the Word of God. And it produces God. And it's not the individual. It's God. For you are dead and you're not yourself no more. You reckon yourself dead, hollowed out, waiting for the seed germ. Listen. How many of you have ever had something very, very big take place and you prayed and rebuked that storm or did something and you saw the power of God take place? I think we all have. We've all been there one time or other. That wasn't you doing it. You have no more power over a storm or over that tornado that jumped over the house after you prayed or that tornado that took a 90-degree turn when you're down there. You don't have power over those things, but God does. And that's what Brother Bram's saying. When God and His Word becomes one, hallelujah, that's when God's Spirit waters the seed of God, the Word of God, and it produces God. Where? In you. Hallelujah. God in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're not yourself no more. You reckon yourself dead, hollowed out, waiting for the seed germ. You see, look, Brother Bram said we've already recognized the third pole. He said it's been identified. We've seen it, but he says, but when that squeeze comes down, it's going to be in use. Well, listen, brother, sister. I believe that third pole is exactly what Jesus said. You say it to this mountain, be moved. That's what Brother Bram defined it. You say to this, be moved, and it'll be moved. Why? Because there's enough God in there. Your motive is God. Your thoughts are God. Your objectives are God. It's all about God. And you're just yielding your body. Like Brother Bram said, you know, he wants to borrow my body. I'll give it to him, loan it to him, whatever he wants out of it. Well, what if he asked you to go to hell? He asked his son to go to hell. He went for 3 days. Brother Bram said, if he asked me to go, he said, I'd be willing to go. I'd be happy to go. Whatever would please him. Now, sometimes you have a condition or a situation around you that seems like hell. And maybe you've got to go into that situation to try to help somebody. Because there's maybe a warring faction or somebody's going on or family issues or whatever it might be. And you know, your natural flesh is, I don't want to get involved with that thing. I want to stay away from that thing. But there's a Spirit of God in there that wants to heal, wants to save. You see, the attribute of Savior, Messiah, coming out, it's there, it's in you. And God's all, He's just looking for an empty vessel so He can go in and do it and use you to do it. Oh, I love it, brother, sister. We're you know, oh, amen. 2 Timothy 2, verse 11 to 12. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, with him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. Now listen, if you suffer with Him, then if you go through Him with the bad things He went through, the good things that were given to Him will be given to you. We become joint heirs with Christ. Everything He has, He shared. He died that we might become heirs, joint heirs with Christ. I love it. So suffering and death are essential components of God, molding and shaping us into the very image of His beloved firstborn Son. Brother Brown continued. He said, then what is it? It isn't you no more. It isn't the man. It's God in the man. It's a seed germ like the beginning spoken word. God's word made manifest in the man. Then it isn't the man, it's the man that's died. Are you willing to die? You know, I'm not up here saying let's drink the cup like Jonesboro, you know, or Jim Jones thing. I'm talking about dying to yourself that God can use you. And whether your wife dies along with you, are you willing to die? Whether your husband dies along with you or not, are you willing to die? Whether your kids come, are you willing to go? Because one day there's going to be a rapture. And any hesitation, you won't make it. No hesitations at all. Notice that's exactly what Paul says in Galatians 2 and 6. He says, knowing that the man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. It's not your actions, it's His actions in you. I wish I could get that across to those who just fuss so much about John 14:12. It's not Jesus' actions. He said, the Son can do nothing, but it's what the Father does through you. What the Father is willing to do through you. Oh, my goodness. There's women. You know, there's been women. The husband was pinned under a tractor and lifts up the tractor like Superman. What does that? That's supernatural, brothers, sisters. There's things that we just don't understand. God, if Brother Branham said, if that big old man that was throwing policemen left and right like they're toys, he said, if a devil can control a man and give him such power, what would the Holy Ghost do? What kind of power would you have with the Holy Ghost? Well, I want the power to live an endless life. A holy life. The power to live a holy life. A righteous life. Hallelujah. Knowing that man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, and listen, I'm just going to stop there because, you know, we honor and respect and revere Brother Branham, and we should. We should. But did you know Brother Branham himself, after 30 years in the ministry, pouring his life out, going almost 24/7, he said, the drunk that got saved an hour ago, God don't look on him any different than he looks on me. And when he was in there and he got so upset because that policeman had his hands where he shouldn't have had in that Dunker restaurant up there, and Brother Branham asked God just to take it all, just end it all right now, and God gave him a mental vision, he said, of his own sins going up in the blood, holding them down. Hallelujah. That same blood is for you and I, brother, sister. Amen. But if we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. In other words, look, just because you know that there's grace and you know that there's blood, don't take it to the limit. Don't take it to the limit. You know, if a young man, young woman like Brother Branham said the two couples, you know, that he went and spied on, he said, you know, the one, you know, they're so poor and they could hardly afford anything, and he took his savings to buy her a gingham dress. And she was so touched by that, and Brother Branham was really touched by that. And then the other couple that were rich, and they were fussing because she danced with some other guy, and she flirted with some other guy. Don't take your relationships to the edge. What would be pleasing? What conduct, wives, would be pleasing my husband? Husbands, what conduct would be pleasing to my wife? You see? Just dying to self. Dying to our own ambitions, our own feelings, our own, you know, initiatives, and just yielding to the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying. He's saying, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law, all flesh shall be done. You know, you don't be a legalist. Don't. You know, there's one thing that really just bothers me more than anything else. It's just a really snobby Christian. You know, one with an attitude and their nose up in the air, and if it rains, they drown, like Brother Bram said. You know, self-righteous. They would never reach out a hand to a grubby migrant worker. Oh, he might have... He might not have washed his hands before I touch him. I'll put the gloves on. Try going over to Africa and praying for people that have tuberculosis. I prayed for 4 people with tuberculosis. And I just said, Father, you shield me. I'm here to be your body. And I prayed for those people that God would heal them. And that's being done by brothers overseas. Almost on a daily basis. Praying for people with AIDS, they get healed. Praying for people with tuberculosis, they get healed. Malaria, they get healed. Hallelujah. But if we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet it's not I, but Christ is living in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, by His faith, who loved me, and He gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, Brother Branham said, then let God plant His own life in you. then it's not you no more, it's God's life. Because it's God's Word. Water by the Holy Spirit will produce the same thing. We see in Romans 8 and 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. I like that, because mortal body is not one that already died. He's not talking about you being in the grave and quickening you then. He's talking about quickening you now, quickening this mortal body. A mortal body is one that's able to die. God wants to quicken this body. Hallelujah. What does the body say? Bible say, Romans 12, 1. That you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. But where's the transformation? It comes from the inside out. You see, the inner man is being renewed daily. You see what Brother Ram said? He said, let God plant His own life in you, then it's not you no more, it's God's life. Romans 8 and 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, that spirit of adoption is getting you into this understanding, this relationship. You saw the relationship with Father and Son. You saw the relationship with William Branham and God. And now God has given you that relationship so that you can go to Him, talk to Him. And He talks back. And He gives you answers. And you no longer have fear to approach Him. He's not a mystical, hidden God someplace. He's a loving Father expressing Himself through you. Hallelujah. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've you know, in most churches, it seems to me, and I listen to them on the radio, it doesn't matter if they're Pentecostal, Baptist, it doesn't matter if they're in this message, they preach fear, fear, fear all the time. Why? And they drive the people to become just a bunch of robots. You know, Paul was a free will prisoner of Jesus Christ. He did it from his own free will. Like Jesus said, God, His commandments aren't grievous. God's things that He has for you to do and to say and to live, it's not because He doesn't like you. He loves you. And He wants you to be... Look, He's always had God life, and He wanted to share it. He wanted you to have what He's got. You see? He's not closed off and says, well, we got it. Nobody else can have it. He wants you to have it. He wants you to be like Him, free from sin, free from idolatry, free from poles of the flesh and everything else. He wants you to live above it. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So just the very fact that you're being led, according to this scripture here, it says you're sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby you identify with the Father. The Spirit, not your Spirit, but the Spirit, God's Spirit, also bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How does He bear witness? By the things that you do, the life that you live. The things when you have need and you ask Him and He answers. That's God bearing witness with your spirit that you're His children. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Endox azo. In other words, the glory of God, the values of God, the opinion of God, the judgment of God, magnified through your body. Oh, to have somebody come and say, you know, that Glenn Maury, he's a real Christian. To have people look at you and say, you know, I noticed you're a Christian family. I noticed the way your kids conduct themselves. You know, I noticed the way that, you know, you walk and you dress and you act. You're Christians, aren't you? What church do you go to? You ever had that done? Yeah. God bearing record. And if God bears record, won't the world bear record? For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, with the values, with the opinion of God, which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for this manifesting of the sons of God. Everybody tries to put that manifestation of the sons of God way off into the millennium. I'm going to tell you something. You take one quote of Brother Branham about that, but there's other quotes where Brother Branham said, it's not then. He said, what do you need it then? It's now. He said, God is waiting, the whole creation is waiting for you to start manifesting that you are sons. We're not talking about doing some great supernatural jumping over barns and everything else. I'm talking about living a life of obedience to the Father. What manifested Jesus as the Son of God? It wasn't the miracles. Janus and Jambres had miracles. That didn't prove nothing. It was his yielding to the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist, and Jesus said, no greater prophet ever lived. And John the Baptist, show me one miracle he did. Show me one great supernatural thing he did. Except for he saw the Holy Spirit come down over Jesus. But you couldn't see that he saw. But he told you what he saw. And he introduced us to the Word incarnate. Hallelujah. Brother Branham, in defining, you know, he said, John 14, the greater works. And then he defined it, he said, the greatest of works is what? He said, it's to impart life to others. Have you talked to the postman? Have you talked to the milkman? Have you talked to someone? Have you seen someone get born again because of the life that you lived? That's why people around the world love Brother Branham. Most of them don't even understand the doctrine he preached. Even the ones that are way off into false doctrines and mystical things, yet they sure love that man. Why? Look at the life he lived. Always living for others. You do that, and watch what the people will begin to say about you. Amen. Brother Ram continued, all right, manifested, the works manifested by the same, manifested the same by us. It is the same word. Now, if he wants to do the works of Christ, to do the same thing he done, he that believeth on me shall have my works. What is that? Believeth what? That he is the original seed germ that come. I like that. If he's the original Son of God, and this is the way he conducted his life, and this is how God backed up his life, I'm a son of God too. Father, I'm your son. I'm yielding myself. I'm obedient. If you want me to go this place, I'll go this place. If you don't want me to go that place, then warn me like Paul was warned not to go to Macedonia. Help me, Father, to just, you know, like Jesus said to Peter, when Peter shot off his mouth to the IRS of his day, you know, the tax collectors. And Jesus said, well, Peter, I'm going to bail you out. Just go cast your fish, go cast your line, and the first fish that comes up, that's the one I'm going to do. I've done that with jobs over the years. I said, Lord, I want you just to put the one that you want me to have, put that on the line. And then I'll take that as your leading. If you want me to go to this certain place, I pray that you'll open the doors, not with one person, but the witness of two or three. And God opened the doors. A brother asked me to come to Uganda in 2000. And I said, well, I'll pray about it. I didn't want to go to Uganda. I didn't want to go to Africa. But on the way over to Sweden to preach a series of messages over there, I was standing outside the church steps in Kentucky, and I told the brothers before I left, I said, there's two places in the world I'll never go, Africa and Asia. I hate snakes, and I hate heat, and I hate mosquitoes. And on the way over, I was resting. Usually I crawl up, I just go to sleep, I listen to a tape, I just, on these overseas flights, and I was so restless I couldn't sleep. I was so broken in my heart, just weeping the whole time, saying, Father, forgive me, I didn't mean to be stupid like that. Forgive me for shooting my mouth off. If you want me to go someplace, I'll go, but you've got to open the doors. I don't want to open any doors, because then I don't know it's you, but if you open the doors, I'll go. And so when Brother Erling picked me up at the at the airport, he said, we've got a strange thing happened here. He said, we've got a brother from Africa. He'd come. I said, oh, yeah? He said, yeah, he sold a cow to come. And I told him, brother, you know, we can't have you preach because we've got a brother coming here to preach. But he said, you might want to listen to him. So the brother came, and then the whole, after the meetings were over, the brother was so fascinated with the doctor that he just kept calling. And every morning, Levon knows, 3 o'clock in the morning, the fax machine would go off. Finally, I had to unplug the thing. And I get four pages of fax. You know, brother, come, you got to come. So finally, I said, look, brother, I don't know if it's God's will, but I'll tell you what. I will send you 40, you give me 40 ministers, and I will send the booklet to the 40 ministers, the addresses you give me, and then I'll just wait on God to get an answer. Well, not only did 40 ministers get the book, but those 40 made copies and copies and copies until 300 ministers got copies. And I received 58 invitations to come. And brothers said things like, I always wondered about that Ethiopian eunuch. And he said, until I realized, he said, when I read this book on the parousia, he said that that was me. He said, I knew nothing about the message until I read that book. He said, and God opened my eyes. He has come down himself. And when I get testimonies like this from brothers, I just something it took over, and I just, okay, brothers, we'll begin to plan. And then so a couple of years came by. See, God didn't want me to go with that particular minister. He was very aggressive. He had started 80 churches. He was a big evangelist, but it just wasn't the purpose and plan. Moses, he was ordained to do it, but not at that time, and not the way he was going to do it. And so I just kept this uneasiness, you know, just not knowing when. And I just said, Lord, you know, if you want me to go, then everything will be all right. And then all of a sudden, Ebola break out. Well, I can't go now because Ebola broke out. Then the next year, I waited again. And Lord, you know, Ebola's over now. And then the rebels from Rwanda came over. And they were shooting up and blowing up buses and stuff like that. And I, well, no, I guess it's not the right time to go yet. Finally, in 2002, in fact, that brother came over the next year in 2001, and he said, oh, brother, I want to come over. I want to study. You know, I'll glean everything I can, and I want to meet Brother Vail and just sit at his feet and everything else. And so I brought him over. Actually, he paid his own way to come. So I gave him 6 laptops to take back with him. I went out and bought 6 laptops and take back with him. But all he did when we went up to see Brother Vail is just talk about money. So Brother Vail just got his checkbook out, wrote him a check for $2,500, and gave it to him, and I just felt so bad. I just really felt embarrassed, because all this guy, he was a fraud, and all he did was want to use me. He'd write letters and say, you know, if you come, brother, we'll have 2,000 people come. And I said, well, if you have 2,000 people come, I won't go. And then he said, well, you know, brother, you know, if we have these 2,000 people come, then we're gonna need about $800 for food. And I said, well, brother, I said, look, I said, just have one boy bring loaves and fishes. And if it's our Father's will that we eat during those 3 days of meetings, I said, then God will multiply the loaves and fishes. And I'm not afraid to stand on that. If my eldest brother Jesus did it, I believe that it's there for me to do as well. And one of these days, you will be praying food on your tables. Don't you ever be ashamed of the gospel of Christ or anything that Jesus did and say, it's not for me. It is for you. We're kings and priests. We're sons of God. We're princes of peace. Oh, brother, we just don't realize who we are. But, you know, when you do, you'll stand on every word. And I said, you just have the people come, I said, and we'll just pray. And if God wants us to eat, he'll bring squirrels or he'll do something. And I'm not afraid to stand on that. And I've seen, because I've stood on those things before, God has blessed me in different things, with weather and different things. And you do the same thing. So anyway, so then the next year, the brother, he got frustrated because he only walked away with $2,500. So then the group down there in North Carolina, they invited him to preach, and he walked away with, I think, $13,000, $14,000, maybe $17,000. Well, then he went back from there and started preaching against the presence and the Godhead. Started preaching against Lee Vail and what he stood for. And yet, I didn't know this, but some of the brothers were writing to me and saying, hey, this guy's doing this, and this guy's doing this. And finally, he called the day before. We were coming anyway, because some other brother said, we'll host some meetings. And so I said, okay, we'll go. Brother Erling said, I'll go with you. And so the night before, he called Brother Erling. And he had been telling all the brothers in Africa, because I didn't know this, but they told me when we got there. He had been going around all the brothers, said, I'm going to take over these meetings. I've been writing to Brian, and I'm going to control the meetings and all this other stuff. And then when he gets here, he's going to sit in the hotel for a week with nothing to do, because there won't be any meetings. You see, that man was out there to fight the Holy Ghost. And after he got off the telephone with Brother Erling, and Brother Erling said, we arrive tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We'll see you then. And the guy hung up the phone, and his head began to pound. And he went into his bed. He told his wife, my head is just breaking. It's just pounding. She said, go lie down for 15 minutes. If it's not better by then, we'll take you to the doctor. Well, he went in. 15 minutes later, she checked on him, and it was getting worse. She said, let's get in the car. She had to help him to the car. He couldn't hardly walk. Got to the car. Before she got out of the driveway, he was dead. And when the people saw that over there, we had tremendous meetings. because the people knew that God, He lives today. The days of Ananias and Sapphira are here, and you don't mess with the plan of God. And since that time, there's been just a great outpouring in Africa, where God's presence has been. Now, I don't say and in fact, I felt terrible to the fact that the man did die. And when we got there and found out when we arrived that he had died that morning, and they had already buried him because they don't let him lay around. They buried him in their backyard. And the people were, all the family was there, weeping and everything at the house. The brothers picked us up at the airport. They took us to the house. We left the mother with so much money to buy a cow, and actually a cow that had a calf, so that she could have enough money to sell milk and continue on. The house was paid for, and we gave her money for the two oldest boys so they could finish their college, so that they could support the family. I felt terrible. I like to see the hand of God doing like that. But that's our God, the sovereign God. He will do what He will do. And I felt almost responsible, but I know I wasn't responsible because it's not my word, it's God's word. But see, God is living. He's here. His presence is here, brother, sister. And Brother Branham said, all right, manifested the works manifested the same by us, for it is the same word. Now, if you want to do the works of Christ, do the same thing He done. He that believeth on me shall have my works. What is that? Believe what? That He is the original seed that came. And remember, what were the works of Christ? John 5:19 said the Son can do nothing but what He sees the Father do. That doeth the Son likewise. Then Brother Branham says, now the word that God spoke to multiply and replenish the earth, it couldn't find a place to land. Finally, this word caught into the womb of a virgin. And we'll speak of that this afternoon. Now, I'd just like to add. Now, when Brother Branham says there are two wombs, he's referring to the physical womb and the spiritual womb of the mind, where ideas are conceived and brought to life. Because it continues and says, and what happened? From him came forth the germ of life, the thing that gives, the water that gives the kernel its chance to reproduce itself. The spirit came out of him and went up. In paragraph 99, again, this is spoken word, says, here we are. We come along, and what happened? We believe it. Now, what did Jesus do? He that believeth on me, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit come in the form of the dove, come upon me, and done this, not through high breeding, but through virgin birth. Not the course of life, like breeding a child, husband to wife. No, not that. Not a high breed, but a virgin born. Now, through this, I'm giving this life, that if you by faith will accept what Father, all the prophets, all the Word of God, and I will pour this life down upon you, and you can't do nothing else but produce the same thing that I am. There you are. You cannot help, as a son of God, to produce what the original seed produced. You can't help it. You don't go out there and try to manufacture wool. It just happens if you're sheep. You don't go out and try to produce things, but it's there and it happens and you respond to the situation. And God puts it in your heart like He put in my heart to pray for laptops. When I saw that what they did was they made it so you couldn't use the voice anymore. You know, back in 96 when they changed it, actually in 99 when they changed it. And you couldn't no longer use that program that I think somebody in Eddie Biscoe's church put together, so you could put the paragraphs all together, link it and play them like a tape. And so I said, Lord, you know, I said, this isn't right. I said, you know, there's people out there who can't even afford a postage stamp, much less to buy a tape for $3-4. And so, Lord, if you would just help me with there's a certain thing I did. I said, if you'd help me with that, you know, I'll take all the proceeds and I'll buy 50 laptops. And then I got up from my knees and got in my car and went to work. And when I got there, I had to meet with the regional manager of Smith Kline Beecham. And he said, 2 hours ago, I was talking to headquarters. And they said, we've got 2,500 laptops that we're going to destroy. Really? Yeah. And he said, and they called me and they said, because last week on Monday, they donated them to the Philadelphia School District. But Friday, they called and said, we don't want them. So now I've got to find nonprofit organizations that'll take these laptops, or we're going to have to destroy them in a dumpster. And I said, well, you know, 2 hours ago I was talking to headquarters too. I was talking to my father, and I was asking him for 50 laptops for the missions. He said, 50? You want 300? You can have them. Well, I don't think too big. Never have. And so I said, no. I said 50's fine, but if you want to throw some extras in there for parts, you know, so in case some aren't working and stuff, he said, that's fine. So my wife and I, we rented a van, we drove out, and came back with wall-to-wall van. I mean, the van was just packed with 82 laptops. That began the mission program. It really did, because now we had something that we could take to help the brethren, and when they knew that, people were excited about us coming. And then when we started coming and they started hearing the word, they got even more excited. And then the word spread. You see, God gave Brother Branham a little gift of healing. He gave us laptops. It's still the same God giving gifts unto his children. You understand? We live in a society today that laptops mean a lot to people because they can have the entire word of God on it. So that's how God works. And now, Brother Branham said, all right. The works that I do shall he do also. And what did he do? Just as the Father led him to do. What we saw, St. John 5:19. See, Brother Branham's explaining it right there. He's explaining John 14:12 is John 5:19. I do nothing till the Father shows me. What was he? Made himself a man. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God spoke in word through a virgin, brought forth a body, and in that body come the water, the Spirit, and washed by the water of the Word, and then went in him, dwelt in him, and there come the life of God manifesting himself through Christ. So who's doing the manifesting? God is. Through who? Christ, Jesus. The vessel that was just yielded to God. God was in Christ, the Anointed One. I'd like to take some of these wonderful thoughts that Brother Branham's saying here and tie it to something that you've all probably heard. People say it was Brother Branham sent this letter to Ernest Fantler and was made available to the public through Robert Goff. Now, I don't know if that was Brother Branham's wording or not, because some of the words didn't look like his. But actually, I did some tracing back on it and found that there was a guy in the 19th century named G.D. Watson. He was a 19th century minister, and he actually wrote that. But regardless of the source, the words ring true. He said, if God has called you to be like Jesus in all of your spirit, then he will draw you into a life of crucifixion and humility and put on you such demands of obedience that he will not allow you to follow other Christians. Now, how many people follow the preacher and take the preacher spirit instead of the Holy Spirit? Huh? He will not allow you to follow other Christians. Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. 1 Corinthians 9:12, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Paul himself said, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Peter. Who is Cephas? Aren't we all just children in the same family? Then he goes on, and in many ways he will seem to let other good people do things that he will not allow you to do. Why do these other ministers, they build their congregation so big and they do these things, and God, I just can't do those things. I can't have roller parties, roller skating parties, and bowling alley parties, and I can't do those things. Other Christians and ministers who seem very religious and useful may push themselves and pull wires and work schemes to carry out their plans, but you cannot do it. And if you attempt to, you will meet with such failure and rebuke from the Lord as to make you sorely penitent. Like when the angel of the Lord said, William Branham, you're making a show. Oh, man. And the Holy Ghost left him for a period of time there, and he was just, you talk about penitent. Others can brag on themselves, on their success, on their writings, but the Holy Spirit will not allow you to do any of that such things. And if you begin to do it, he will lead you into some deep mortification that will make you despise yourself and all your good works. See, God wants to keep his servants humble. Now, this deep mortification means God will cause to come upon you upon your soul a deep feeling of shame and humiliation. for what you've attempted to do outside of His will for yourself. Oh God, forgive me for talking such stupid words. God, I didn't mean to say those things. Would you somehow just let them pass and forgive me for opening my mouth and talking so proud? It is not that God will slam you to the earth for this. Sometimes He'll just leave you for a while. When you get to thinking that your ministry is so great, you can pull things down and just expound at people and just manipulate people's minds and wills and everything else, God will humble you if you're His. And you'll feel like you're the most vile creature on earth if you're His. Yeah, God doesn't like arrogant preachers. I don't either. You will meet with such failure and rebuke from the Lord as to make you sorely penitent. Others can brag on themselves, on their success, on their writings, but the Holy Spirit will not allow you to do any such thing. And if you begin, He will lead you into deep mortification that will make you despise yourself and your works. It is not that God, as I said, slams you to the earth for this, because He allows others to do it and get away with it without feeling or any remorse or grief. But you're different. You're His to do with whatsoever He wills. And all you want to do is that which would be pleasing to Him. And thus you're smitten in your soul of your own violation or volition. That means by your own conscious choice and not because of fear of reprisal. In the book of Philemon, Paul calls himself a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a prisoner is one who is not in control of his own destiny, but is totally captive to another. A prisoner is a person held in custody, captivity, or a condition of forcible restraint, especially while on trial or serving a prison sentence. One deprived of freedom of expression. Isn't that the one thing that's damning this country more than anything else, is this freedom of expression or this freedom of action? The Holy Spirit don't allow you to freely express vile nature of the human birth. But He does allow you to freely express His nature. You see, it is God working in you to perform. It is not yourself. Philippians 2 and 13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do." God Himself, His very life in you, working in you to will and to do His good pleasure. In other words, if it wasn't God in you willing, working to will, you wouldn't will. You wouldn't have the desire. God places that desire in your heart. And then you do. Others will be allowed to succeed in making great sums of money, or having a legacy left to themselves, or living in luxuries. But God may supply your daily needs. And only your daily needs. Because He wants you to have something far better than gold. And that is a helpless dependence upon Him. That He may have privilege of providing your needs day by day from His unseen treasury. And God spoke this of His Son to Isaiah. In Isaiah 42 and verse 19, He said, "Who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? The Lord may let others be honored and put forward, and keep you hidden away in obscurity, because He wants to produce some choice, the fragrant fruit of His coming and glory, which can only be produced in the shade. When we realize that we belong to Him, then we lay aside all our desires, and we look to His will only to be done." David, who was a man after God's own heart, in Psalm 100 and verse 3 said, "Know you that the Lord, He is God? It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of his pasture. And you know, sheep stink. I never really knew that till we went to England. And you had to stay in the place next to the sheep. It was a little house there, and it's And David says, "We are the sheep of his pasture." And the Apostle Paul, who acknowledged himself to be a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ in Ephesians 2 and 10, he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." God wants you to have good works, which God hath before ordained, set in order, predetermined, that we should walk in them. Oh, like Brother Bram said, if I could just have a church that was so in love with one another and with God, I don't care if we had no gifts operating in the church. That's what I would want. Now, God will let others be great, but He keeps you small. And He will make you work and toil without knowing how much you're really doing. And then, to make you still more precious, He will let others get the credit for the work which you've done. And this will make your reward 10 times greater when Jesus comes. The Holy Spirit will put a strict watch on you with a jealous love, and will rebuke you for little words and little feelings or wasting of your time, which other Christians never seem distressed over. So make up your mind that God is an infinite sovereign and has a right to do as He pleases with His own. And He will not explain to you 1,000 things which may puzzle you, your reason in His dealings with you. Many times He didn't even tell Brother Branham why he did something. Brother Branham prayed for that child and God took it. And Brother Branham, God wouldn't tell him. He pleaded and pleaded and pleaded and pleaded and pleaded, and finally God did tell him. It was a child's time to go. Had the child lived any longer, it could have gone down the wrong path. In Zechariah 8 and 2, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury." And Joshua, speaking to the people in Joshua 24:19, "The Lord, He is an holy God, He is a jealous God." And Moses said in Deuteronomy 6:15, "For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you." And again in Deuteronomy 4:24, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." And if He's got His eyes on you, that you're His possession. You're His. So make up your mind that God is an infinite sovereign, and He has a right to do as He pleases with His own. And He will not explain to you 1,000 things which may muzzle your reason in His dealings with you. He may just be silent. Jesus said, then answered Jesus in John 5:19, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. Whatsoever things He doeth, the Son doeth likewise." He was asked to walk past 300 people that were infirmed, sick. All they needed was a touch from the Son of God. And God wouldn't permit him. And you know, brother, sister, look, he was a man. He had compassion. But Brother Brand said, the real compassion is doing the will of God. And he did only what the Father showed him. And he went only to the one that God showed him to pray for. John 14:31, "But that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do." To show God our love. When He says do, we do. You kids, you love your dad and mom? When they ask you to do something, do it. John 15:10, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in His love." John 12:49, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me commandments, what I should say and what I should speak. I only do what the Father shows me to do." John 12:50, "And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. And whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, thus I speak." Why? Because I know He's looking out for my good. All things are working together for your good. All things. Even the bad stuff that seemed to be, yes, even those things. Hallelujah. God is working all things. You say, well, why do I go through trials and suffering? Because He's molding His character in you. Why do I have people speaking against me and saying all kinds of things and telling lies about me? Because God's molding His character in you. That's right. God will take you at your word, and if you absolutely sell yourself to be His slave, He will wrap you up in His jealous love and let other people say and do things that you cannot do and say. Jesus Himself said in John 5:30, I can of mine own self do nothing, but as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So if He can do nothing, if we can do nothing, if Jesus could do nothing, but what the Father showed Him to do or say, He was a total prisoner of His Father. But not out of fear. No, He was a bond slave out of love for his Father. In Matthew 12:50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. In Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Well, settle it then forever that you are to deal directly with the Holy Spirit. You don't need to come and ask the pastor, should I do this, should I do that? Go to God. Go to the Holy Spirit. As Brother Branham, so many times, you know, I've had issues over the years in the church, and I'd call Brother Vail. I'd say, what's the scripture on it? I'd call Billy Paul and say, how did your daddy handle it? I even called him on tithes and offerings one time and said, how did your daddy handle tithes and offerings? How did he teach it? He said he taught him tithes and offerings, but he said, and I said, well, did he tell him it was on the gross or the net? He said, he left that up between them and the Holy Spirit. You see, he didn't believe in forced religion. No. You do what you feel led to do by the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Spirit is in us, constraining us, the Bible says. Constraining us. It's like a straitjacket. Settle it forever. You are to deal directly with the Holy Spirit. And that He has a privilege, and you give Him the privilege of tying your tongue, or chaining your hands, or closing your eyes in ways that others are not to deal with. Now, when you are so possessed with the living God that you are in your secret heart pleased and delighted over this particular personal, private, jealous guardianship and management of the Holy Spirit over your life, you will have found vestibule in heaven. That means you will have found your place of entrance into heaven. For we are given access through Christ into this glorious liberty of God to walk in His Word and to become the living, breathing Word of God, incarnate among brothers and sisters in need of hope and life. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Ephesians 4:6, there is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and, don't forget, in you all. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Are ye not, and you are not your own? Like Brother Vail would say, no man is an island to himself. No, we're not. We're not our own. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you in due time. 2 Thessalonians 1:12, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:21, now He which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Romans 15:13. Now the hope, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be you of good comfort. Be you of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. And 2 Corinthians 11:7. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? Colossians 2 and 6 in closing. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk you in Him, rooted and builded up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him, not in mere traditions of men or in their vain philosophy, but in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In Colossians 3, 1-5, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. When Christ shall phaneroo, and He did in this hour, then shall you also phaneroo, manifest that very life of God in you. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. And finally, in Revelation 3:21, to Him that overcometh will I grant to sit with Me in My throne. You see, you suffer with Him, you shall also be glorified together. To Him that overcometh, overcome what? Myself. Yourself. Will I grant to sit with Me in My throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with My Father in His throne. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we love You, O God, with all that it lays within us, our body, soul, spirit, our mind, our energies. And we ask You, Father, to not allow this word to fall to our feet, but may it truly register an amen in our hearts. And may this word abound in our lives and manifest, so that the world will see the manifestation of sons of God, living, breathing God. Everything we look at, we see God. We hear God. We we hear nothing but God. We see nothing but what You would have us to see. Help us be blind, O God, to the things of this world, and help us be righteous, and help us to see Your Shekinah presence among us, living, O God, Your living, breathing presence among us, living and breathing through us. Be with us, Father. Help us, O God, to be the reflection, to be the sons, to be the daughters You've ordained us to be before the foundations of the world. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing that song in closing. I know whom I have, believe it, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day.